You're locked on The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Missed anything from hour number one? Don't forget to subscribe and download the hourly podcast for every show. It includes Boomer in the Morning, Flamestock, The Big Show, and Flamestock Part 2, which is the afternoon edition with Steinberg and Matty Rose. Available wherever you get your podcast: Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. And, of course, a variety of ways to listen to us live. 960 on your AM radio. Stream us at sportsnet.ca/960 or tell your smart speaker to play Sportsnet 960. Welcome back. It is hour two from the iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Flames game day. More on that as we continue this afternoon. But right now, very pleased to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Come on in and enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. A pleasure to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcome in our next guest. She is WWE superstar Maryse. Maryse, thank you so much for doing this, getting set for Royal Rumble on Saturday. First of all, how are you?
I'm great. Well, thank you for having me.
No problem. I guess as we get set for Royal Rumble on Saturday, just take me through what it's like. And, you know, it's funny, I was looking at some different things for this interview today. And, you know, I was always curious to ask people that are in your profession because, you know, we certainly look at all the professional sports in the last year plus. What was it like? And I guess how excited are you to get back into live fans for an event like Royal Rumble, because it's been such a weird time, and wrestling especially is an event and a situation where you feed so much off of the crowd. How weird was it, or how different has it been the last two plus years? I know that the fans have started to come back now, but how different was that to wrestle in front of empty arenas?
Oh my goodness. First of all, I am back actually with the live crowd because, as you may know, I had two babies since, you know, I was back in the ring in WrestleMania 33, our match against, you know, John Cena and Nikki Bella, really was my last match. And then I had Monroe and I had Madison. So it's crazy. I never really thought that I would really be back, you know, like I am right now, because I would get the question all the time, do you think you'll ever be back? And I kept saying, well, you know, you never really know with WWE. That's the beautiful thing about what we do. You never really know what to expect. So, but I am back. And I am back, actually, in front of live crowds. And then, look, stadium, the Dome in St. Louis, it's going to be insane. Because, like you said, we've all been living through this whole pandemic in the past few years. And what we do, we feed off the crowd, we feed off people and their energy, and it's going to be absolutely insane. So we're super excited. We can't wait. There's really nothing else that we can compare. Like the crowd, the WWE crowd, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and
it's so fun.
And it's
I'm so glad to be back and to be with my husband, you know, to be with him in the ring again.
I was going to ask you about that. And
to that, I'm really looking. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you about that because, you know, it's one thing to be in arenas with, you know, 10 to 15,000 people. But as you say, you know, in the St. Louis Dome on Saturday, it's going to be 40,000 plus. And it's just, you know, it kind of, you don't need those energy pills because it's just an automatic boost of adrenaline, right?
Yeah, and people are so happy to get out and participate and be involved, and just it's just a very positive thing for everyone to be able to enjoy a show like WWE. It's fun, you know. It's for everyone, your whole family. It's almost like you plan it. It's a trip. Like, today we're going. We're gonna watch it. It's just overall really awesome for everyone.
You mentioned it, working with your husband. What is that like? And I guess that partnership, because, you know, obviously it's a business and you want to entertain and you're working with your husband. I guess just talk about that and that partnership and how much fun you guys have doing that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we do everything together. We have a business together. We have our production company together. We have Ms. and Mrs. We have two kids. And then we're back in WWE together. So, well, it's one of those things where we somehow always get along, you know, because we all know, as you know, working with your significant other sometimes is, and we talk about that on our show, Ms. and Mrs. Season 3. Sometimes it gets a little much, you know, and if you know the Miz can be loud and obnoxious, and you know, I love that part of my husband, by the way, so entertaining. But so you'll be able to see on Ms. and Mrs. how it is for us as a couple to be doing so many things together. But at the end of the day, we do so because we really enjoy it. We really enjoy each other's presence and being together, and we do so well together. Our dynamic just on TV is just so much fun, and we have fun. So I think it translates to the audience that we have fun working together. But he's just overall very entertaining 24/7. And then, you know, we wonder why my kids are so high energy. Like, have you seen your parents? Have you seen the dad? Have you seen the mom? What we do for a living? So it's pretty funny. But, you know, this Saturday, I'm just thinking about it, and I just get very, very, very excited, because after WrestleMania 33, I thought, man, maybe this is the last one. This is the last time that we're going to be together in the ring. And it wasn't. So it's very surprising, you know?
Maurice.
Very surprising, because I kept getting the question, are you ever going to be back in the ring? And I really didn't know.
Yeah.
But you never know. And then there you go.
Here it is. It'll happen on Saturday. Looking forward to it. Royal Rumble. Maurice is with us here on the Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Going to ask you about Saturday. Your feud with Beth Phoenix. About a decade ago, you had one similar. What's it like to kind of have that come full circle for you?
Crazy. Craziness. I first met Beth when I first came to OVW in 2006. She was already in Ohio Valley Wrestling, and I was coming in from Montreal, Canada, couldn't even speak English. You know, so we go back. We go back, and now, 2022, we're both married. We both have two little girls. It's one of those things that you just sometimes got to pinch yourself and go, oh, my goodness. Time has passed, and we are now doing this. So it's insane, you know. It's so much fun for us to really be able to do what we love and to do it together, because I have a lot of respect for Beth. Beth is not only awesome in the ring, but as a person. So she's someone that I'm actually really, really happy to get in the ring with. We'll kick her butt, but, you know, that's a different story.
I was going to ask you, kind of go all the way back to the start. You mentioned, you know, you didn't know if you could be back in WWE or back to wrestling after you had your children. But growing up, Maurice, when did wrestling kind of come on the radar for you? And when did you kind of figure this is what you wanted to do for a living?
I was probably about 15 years old and 14, 15 years old. And I remember going to my friends. Canada, Montreal, Canada, they had every week they would put this show on television, and then we would order food and bring snacks, and it's mainly all guy friends, and because I've always been into sports and always been into martial arts and always been into, so I had a lot of guy friends, and we would do that, and then we'd just sit there and just watch the show all the way to when the Diva Search in 2005. But I remember when that happened, my friends would tell me, Maurice, you got to try it out. And I was like, oh, I don't speak English. This is a huge entertainment company in the United States. Like, I just was, you know, taken away, because I would look at all these beautiful girls and what they do. And so they made a package for me. And I remember them taping me back then the video, like the cassettes. It was, they would hold signs with like lines in English for me to say, like as simple as, hi, my name is Marais. I'm from Montreal, Canada, blah, blah, blah. And then they made this package for me and they sent it to Stamford and Connecticut to the WWE headquarters at the time. So I got a phone call and they asked me to come to Los Angeles to do the tryout for the deep search. When I was in the plane to go to Los Angeles, I had a script translated in English that I learned. I practiced that. When I got to my audition for WWE in Los Angeles for the Zeta Search, guess who was one of the judge? The Miz.
Wow.
I remember getting to my audition and everyone from WWE, and it was a huge production. They were all standing there. And then they said, hi, what's your name? So I said, hi, my name is Marais. At the time, Ouellette, I started to speak. And the Miz stopped me and he said, no, we don't want to have a beauty pageant answer. We want to have a real answer. And then he caught me off guard because I learned that text in the plane. And then I had nothing else to say in English. So he said, they were kind of all looking at each other. And he said, well, what about he cut it promo in French? And I got down in his face. And to this day, he said, I don't know if I was scared or turned on. And we got married.
That is funny. And I was going to ask you about that too, because you've mentioned a couple of times, you know, growing up in Montreal, didn't know a lot of English. And now, you know, you're one who dominates on the ring and you grabbed the microphone, you had the reality show. Where did that come from? And I guess over time, just that confidence built to, you know, where it is, I'm guessing. But just, you know, I guess take me through that and how that was born.
Well, you know, I first moved to Louisville, Kentucky. I was from French. I barely spoke 10 words, and then I got into a wrestling school that not only everyone was speaking English, but was literally learning a different language because wrestling is a different language on its own. And I remember at the time they would say in wrestling school, they would say, okay, grab the wrist. And I was like, the wrist. Okay, the wrist. And usually they grab the left. So then I would put like a rubber band around my wrist so I would know that that's the left. That was that crazy. You know, when you don't speak the language and your brain is trying to understand what's going on. So I would do that, these little things like this. And people would say, why are your eyes going left and right? Because I'm trying to understand you right now. So... yeah, I guess it's just confidence, but it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
It's not easy to. It was a lot of, you know, back and forth. But I think living in the United States really helped. Moving and just not having a choice to learn really, really changed everything. And also, man, trusting me. You know, when we talk about NXT back in 2011, you know, making me the host. That was challenging because I had to rehearse and learn all my lines prior, and also it changes in the ring, so you have to be on your feet. You know, that's the business. You have to be on your feet. But I learned a lot from that. And overall, just being in America. So over the years, you get more comfortable. But my brain sometimes goes back in French, which is it's all in reverse. So... it's always going to happen, you know, because I've lived in Canada for 24 years. So sometimes, and I am French. It's my first language. So my brain just go back and it goes like opposite. Everything switch around. So if I learn a paragraph, even if it's for a movie or a commercial or whatever it is, if I learn something, my brain might just put it all in the reverse. So I have to bring it back.
Crazy. Before we let you go, let's bring it back full circle on this interview. Royal Rumble goes Saturday. You and The Miz head-to-head with Edge and Beth Phoenix. Tell us about your excitement for that and guess the next couple of days here as you prepare yourself for Saturday in front of 40,000 people, Maurice.
I know. Isn't it insane, the energy that 40,000 people will give you to go into this match? That's really why I love and I'm always so excited about being back in WWE. I'm not going to lie, this is this is a rush that you want to feel. It. There's nothing like it. There's no other job. And I don't like to say job because, honestly, I love what I do, and it's just I wouldn't even call it that. But also just to be back with my husband because, like I said, you know, WrestleMania 33, I thought this was going to be the last time that I was going to be in the wrestling ring wrestling with him. And then I had two daughters, and being back in the ring after that, people ask me all the time, are you going to come back? And I just really never know. I don't know what to say because you really never really know. And then here I am against that Phoenix that I actually started wrestling with in 2006 when I wasn't even speaking English. So everything is coming back around.
Should be awesome. Looking forward to it. We appreciate your time today, Maurice. Good luck on Saturday. Have a ton of fun in front of all those people. And you're right. Yep. There's nothing anything like it. You're going to have me shot out of a cannon on Saturday. So have fun, and we'll talk to you later. Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Maurice Mizanin joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. And come on in and enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive at Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. I said it with Maurice Logan, and again, I don't know if you're a bit of a wrestling fan. I certainly know that our good pal Peter Klein will be tuned in on Saturday for Royal Rumble. But, you know, wrestling was one of those sports where in the pandemic, you know, we watched hockey, we watched basketball, we watched even the NFL play in empty stadiums. It's a lot tougher for wrestling to be in empty arenas. They did it in the WWE studio in Florida. That's a sport that really does feed off the crowd. And to be back at a dome, I'm sure. I know that, you know, Raw and SmackDown and everything has been back in front of crowds for at least a year here. But just to have an event like that, which is one of their marquee events every single year, to have that back in front of 40,000 people would be pretty cool. And I know wrestling fans are probably just jacked for Saturday and the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I certainly haven't been into wrestling as much as I was when I was younger, but I remember the Royal Rumble was always a special one because this was always the one where they would bring out the surprises, or there'd be at least a handful of people that you didn't expect to be there, and it would always bring out the huge crowd reaction, right? And any wrestling fan, or even if you've watched, you know, 5 minutes of WWE content, you know about what it is. You have the countdown, the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, horn goes off. There's that, they do that nice little pause for dramatic effect, and then it's whoever's music hits, and the crowd usually goes nuts, right? It's somebody that hasn't been there for a while.
You know, you bet with your friends about who's coming
exactly,
next.
Right? Yeah. I'm sure Klein has, and I know he's done it before, he's done the Royal Rumble pools, right? All that sort of stuff. It's one of the premier events, and that wouldn't be the same without fans, without that pop from, you know, a hometown guy that hasn't been in the WWE for a while and has come back for the event, or they've done, you know, veteran guys, like Hall of Fame guys that have come back for the event. And those are so much cooler. And it's, you know, another reminder of, for all of us, how cool it is to have fans in the stands and how much we miss that aspect of it. I can't imagine, you know, the hockey one was weird enough, but that's got to be a very strange sport and job to have, like Maurice had, and you mentioned doing that, you know, wrestling in front of no fans like that, when so much of it is built off of the entertainment aspect of having fans. Like, that's part of your job, literally gone. Like, if you still play hockey without fans, I don't know that you could wrestle and do the normal things that WWE does without fans.
Yeah, it's, it, you know, the energy in other sports, you can kind of manufacture it without fans because you're, you know, and I know wrestling, you're going head-to-head with somebody, but, yeah, it's just way tougher in wrestling, I think, to manufacture that and get that same energy when you don't have anybody in the building. So it should be a lot of fun. I know many wrestling fans that we see, a couple already on the text line, 960-960, are fired up for Royal Rumble Saturday. WWE Network, which is also available on Sportsnet now. Thanks to the WWE for setting that up, and looking forward to seeing Maurice back in the ring Saturday at Royal Rumble with The Miz in the mixed tag team match against Edge and Beth Phoenix. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will focus in on what was still right now. I can't really put a finger on what we saw on the weekend. I really don't know how, and I don't have enough words for it. My vocabulary isn't deep enough to properly describe what we saw. Might be the best game I've ever seen in any sport. We'll talk about that. Would love to get your input. 960-960. Is there a game in a different sport? Maybe it's the Blue Jays and the bat toss. Maybe it's Edwin Encarnacion and extra innings. Maybe it's Joe Carter in the World Series. Is there a game or moment in sports that you can compare to what we saw last night with the Bills and the Chiefs? We'll take your input and we'll get to our thoughts on that when we come back. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Got a chip on the edge with Ingram. Have him come up on the inside. Some of these guys. Allen fires it. It's a wide open. Remarkable. Touchdown, Buffalo. Davis again. This is, it just is impossible. A strike. It was an incredible route. He made the corner fall down. Mike Hughes is out there, and they actually have people back. But this is why you chipped on the edge. Really smart call. You gave him time, Ingram, so he had all day. But watch the route up top. 13, right there, Davis. Oh, my goodness.
Down the middle. It's Hill in the open. Cuts it upfield. He might be gone. He is. Kansas City takes the lead with a minute to go from 64 incredible yards.
Well, we talked about Josh Allen needed to make a huge play. This place is going crazy. And then all of a sudden you got Superman himself comes out and he shows you Patrick Mahomes. He don't lose in the playoffs very often.
17 seconds. Down the middle to the end zone, and there it is! Touchdown number 4 on the night for Davis. So hundreds of thousands around the planet. The kick is good! It's going to overtime.
Whatever quarterback has the ball last will win. Oh, well, guess what? They'll just give me 3 seconds. I'll just get down and, oh my gosh, this is the most perfect quarterback play.
Looking to the end zone for the win. He caught it. Ball game. Chiefs to the championship game.
These two guys know each other. Unbelievable. This is just unfathomable. The Bills had won this game. It was over. Josh Allen with a perfect postseason. And Patrick Mahomes.
That clip right there of Tony Romo was everybody. You can't find words for it. That's the last 2 minutes. Feels like a full football game, but that's the last 2 minutes of the Bills and the Chiefs. And, of course, the overtime winner from Travis Kelce. That's brought up all kinds of questions, but the focus should remain on what a football game that was. We asked you at 960-960 your thoughts on the game and maybe what you would compare it to some of the games you've seen in terms of absolute crazy finishes or just kind of heartbreak finishes, whether you're a Bills fan or a Chiefs fan. What a game. Will Nault, Logan Gordon along with you, live in the iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. And we thought a perfect time to bring in our next guest as we get on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcome in our friend, our pal, our buddy, Andy McNamara from Sportsnet.ca, Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto, and The Fantasy Show. We've been trying to find words all day, Andy, and I've watched clips over and over and over again. The floor is yours, sir. Thoughts on, you know, certainly Bills and Chiefs was the highlight, but the first time in NFL history, all four games in a playoff weekend came down to the final play. I know two games, not as exciting as maybe what we saw on Sunday, but man, the league could not be thrilled because they got, or has to be thrilled because they could not have drawn up a better weekend of football.
Oh, Will, you're right. It was everything you want from playoff football. It was, I think you could make an argument, arguably the most entertaining playoff weekend of football in NFL history. Like, I'm sure you can go back and find different, but for all four games to come down to the very end, all of them, and then the finale is what we saw in Kansas City. Like, well, I honestly was going back and I tried, you know, there's recency bias and it's like, I just saw this and it was amazing. So is it the best? You look at things like, okay, the Minneapolis Miracle from 2017, you know, Music City Miracle, you know, there's other games going back. And I just kept thinking, I don't know if I could point to a fourth quarter and then bleed that into overtime that was more entertaining, exciting, back and forth, where you thought the game was over two, three, four times, and it kept changing, that I've ever seen personally. This has to go down as maybe the best NFL playoff game ever.
I can't disagree. And I mean, overtime rules are what they are, Andy, and you can't change it now, but it had that feel like whoever was going to have the ball last truly was going to win the game. And you probably feel for Josh Allen company. That's a beast they've been trying to slay in Kansas City for a while now. But I mean, I don't know how you can walk away with your head held low if you're Josh Allen. I mean, that guy gave it literally all he had with Gabriel Davis down the stretch. And, to come away with a loss there, it feels almost unfair to him.
It does. Like Gabriel Davis did things Jerry Rice never did, Randy Moss never did, the greatest receivers in NFL history. And Gabriel Davis will be a trivia question that a lot of people will be getting wrong in future years. That have the most touchdowns in a playoff game. Like, it was unbelievable. Kept going back to him. And it was a true back and forth. And that's what it looked like. Whoever had the ball last was going to win that game. And the overtime rule may seem unfair to Buffalo Bills fans, but they knew it. You know, Kansas City, an ironic thing that I read earlier today, guys, was that Kansas City actually voted to get rid of this playoff rule where you had the first touchdown win, and Buffalo, along with like every other team, went against it. Yeah. So funny how that works out, I guess. But it was just a case where you thought, okay, Kansas City got, oh, can Buffalo come? Oh, they won 13 seconds. And even when it was 13 seconds, I thought, man, you know what? I'm not going to doubt them. And it was truly two of the elite quarterbacks in their prime going toe-to-toe. And we're not talking about scrub defenses here either, guys, right? These are like Buffalo's defense, number one in a lot of categories. Kansas City, no pushover for the year. It was absolutely epic television.
It was. And by the way, the Chiefs brought up that their issues with the overtime rules when they lost in 2018 to the Patriots in very similar fashion in the AFC Championship game, which to this date is still the only playoff game that Patrick Mahomes has lost at Arrowhead Stadium. And, you know, this is a guy who is, besides the Super Bowl guys, Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game. He has played at Arrowhead Stadium every single game. They're going to host the AFC title game for the fourth consecutive year, the only team in NFL history to host four straight conference title games. Pretty insane when you talk about that finish. And I'm with you, Logan. I don't think the Bills should be hanging their heads low because they gave it all. And it was just one of those situations where, it just didn't end up on their side when it was over. But, man, they very easily could have won that game. And Gabriel Davis, first player in NFL history to have four touchdowns in a playoff game, that was something special as well. And before that, I mean, we had almost as epic a comeback as we saw him have at the Super Bowl against the Falcons. Tom Brady almost came all the way back against the Rams.
And well, that's why you see on Twitter, oh, it's over. I was like, have you people not learned that it is never over if Tom Brady is upright in a football game? Never. It's never over. And yeah, damn well near did it again, but just one step too short for Tom Brady. And, you know, we say it all the time. Well, right, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Well, the man got beat. And you got Matt Stafford and company heading to the NFC Championship game. They're going to be hosting it. And you know what? If they win that, they can just stay put, right? They're going to be at their home. A little preview. And I got to say, I really like their chances against the 49ers. But then again, we have another in-division game, and those ones, even during the regular season, can always be crapshoots because they know each other so well. Mm-hmm. So what is that game going to look like? 49ers.
And they just played in Week 18.
Yes, they did. it's going to be fascinating in that regard, too, to see what happens there.
Text came in 960-960. Andy, wasn't Show's Danger Zone pick Davis?
Ha! Yes. Anyway, what's the number on that? Is that Show Ali as well?
No. 403.
It's like not Show. Yeah, it was. Show, my co-host on the fantasy show, Show Ali picked Gabriel Davis to have the most receiving yards. It was something like out of anybody in any of the games of the weekend. Okay, that's bold. And wow. I picked, my danger zone pick was Devin Singletary to have a touchdown, which I was right on. But then I also added in to have the most rushing yards out of any running back over the weekend, to which I was incorrect. But I'll take that to enjoy the theater that was that game.
It was insane. And looking forward now to the championship weekend as the AFC and NFC title games go next Sunday. It's going to be, hopefully, you know, it's hard to live up to that, but hopefully it's just as good a theater as what we saw this previous week. And I guess we can quickly reflect on Saturday as well. You know, as much as Cincinnati won the game, Tennessee threw it away. Bad quarterback play led to the Bengals winning 19-16. Your thought on Joe Burrow a year after a horrific knee injury? Here he is with his buddy Ja'Marr Chase in the AFC Championship game.
Well, and taking 9 sacks a year after.
NFL record, too.
Like, if you're Cincinnati, like, don't you have to try to make some in-game adjustments so your quarterback does not get pummeled? He's come up limping a couple of times this year already from that injured knee. Like, you are playing with absolute fire. Joe Burrow's a specimen. And look, in that game, no touchdowns thrown, a pick, but you were able to maneuver enough. You worked Joe Mixon enough, got him into the end zone, and you won it on the leg of your rookie kicker. But Joe Burrow was just overall this season is spectacular. And I think when we look ahead, now the defense and the offensive line don't match up with what Buffalo had, but the potential shootout, Joe Burrow in a pass-happy offense where Zach Taylor would throw the ball all day if he could versus Pat Mahomes, like we could be looking at another sling it back and forth between those two teams at Arrowhead next Sunday too.
Well, I'm going to ask you just before Logan jumps in here, because we were talking about this in the break, and it's perfect for you because you are a fan of an AFC team. But we're not going to have that much fun here in the next 10 years, Andy, because you've got Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and, of course, Patrick Mahomes all in the AFC, two of them in the same division, and all of them under the age of 25. This is not going to be fun.
Oh, what about Zach Wilson and Baker Mayfield? Let's go.
A little bit of a different tier, but
yeah, it is. You know what? The funny thing is, you mentioned that. I watched this, and you guys know I'm a Baker
apologist.
And, of
course, Mahomes is 26. My apologies. But still.
That dude's going to be around for 15 more years, 10 at least. But, like, you know, you guys know I'm a Baker Mayfield apologist, and I was watching that game. I was like, damn, man. We are a level quarterback down from that. That was just I can't even think of the proper words. Well, like to see that display from Mahomes and Allen, and then you work in Burrow. Now Burrow didn't have the same mastery of a game that we saw with the Bills and Chiefs, but to see those guys, and it was just like you had the confidence watching it. They could make any throw at any time from any place, and the receiver was going to catch the ball and could make a huge play. Like, it was just a given. Whereas, you know, with our quarterbacks, the Jets and Browns, that you don't necessarily have the same type of confidence. So the league is more fun when there's more great quarterbacks. I just wish a couple would fall into, our team's laps.
Well, and it's funny because even as you talk, you know, Wilson and Mayfield, there's still potential. I don't love what Tua's done, but, I mean, there's a high pick. Trevor Lawrence could still be something. It's still very early on in his, you know, career path. They talk about the level of quarterback play, and I don't want to say the NFC feels like the old boys club because, you know, the old boys club's won a lot of Super Bowls, mainly with number 12 in Tampa, but it kind of feels that way heading into this weekend, Andy. And, I mean, that's a lot of quarterback talent, and we talk so much about that position meaning so much in the NFL. I don't know that it's ever more clear than this last weekend what you can do if you snag one of those top guys.
Yeah, Logan, that's a terrific point with the NFC. Like, let's look at this real quick, okay? Let's see, NFC East. Nobody in Washington. Daniel Jones isn't the answer with the Giants. Dallas Cowboys have Dak Prescott. Believe in him. Jalen Hurts, jury is out. I'm a fan, but he's not a sure thing. Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers might be gone. No one's buying Kirk Cousins. You can't believe in Justin Fields. Jared Goff, pass. Then NFC, Tom Brady. He hasn't committed to returning. Saints, no quarterback. Matt Ryan looks like he's done. Carolina, what are they doing? The answer's not there. Then you got Matthew Stafford with the Rams. He's got, what, 2-3 years left, depending. Kyler Murray's got banged up. He didn't look very good. Jimmy Garoppolo, you have Trey Lance behind him. In Seattle, Russell Wilson, who knows what's happening there? So you have, what, like 2 to 3, like maybe that, sure things in the NFC compared to the list that we rattled off there in the AFC.
Well, and that was the interesting point, too. And I mentioned to Will, we were talking in the break again, was somebody had said to me the other day, or listening to an NFL podcast, somebody had said, you know, doesn't it make sense now? This will be the time that Aaron Rodgers goes from Green Bay and winds up with Denver. And I'm sitting there thinking, why would you ever go to the AFC if you were Aaron Rodgers? Why wouldn't you just stay in that division where you've dominated for years and nobody can seemingly get anything going for the last decade? Why would you? I know you've had your troubles with the organization and you have your feelings about them if you're Aaron Rodgers, but why in the world would you ever make that switch now of all times?
Oh, and the same could be 100% said for Russell Wilson. I mean, you know, is he looking for trade options? And as much as we laugh at maybe how bad the organization's been, I can understand why the Giants are in that conversation and why Russell would want to go to New York City, obviously. I think we can all tell, you know, post-football why New York could be attractive to Russell Wilson. But that's why that makes sense for me, because I can understand wanting to stay in the NFC. And when you're a quarterback like Wilson or Rodgers, you can control that narrative because you've been around that long and you've got no trade clauses and all that type of stuff. And I'm with you guys 100%.
Yeah. And the thing is, two, you have to look at it from, it's like with anything. When you talk about hockey trades or whatever, if you're someone's a fan of a team, trade this for this. It's like, it has to make sense for both teams. So if you're the Packers and you're the Seattle Seahawks, the first thought is, why the bleep would I trade one of the best quarterbacks? Why? Would it not be more advantageous to try to make it work? Like, what are you getting back? And with so many teams with questions, throw the Tennessee Titans in there now. And a weaker draft class, not a sure thing at quarterback coming out of this draft class. You don't have a Trevor Lawrence coming out. You're looking, who's the improvement? Where's the upgrade? If you get rid of Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers, okay, Jordan Love, yeah, what I saw of him, have fun. Your run is finally over of having Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. You've been spoiled for too long. You can go sit in the quarterback desert for a decade like the rest of us. And then like Seattle, where are you going to go? Who are you going to get? You got DK, you got a core. Yep. Who are you going to get? Matt Ryan? Like New Orleans, what are you going to do? Jameis Winston, your answer? That's why getting rid of franchise quarterbacks makes zero sense and why it quite often doesn't happen.
He's Andy McNamara. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline.
So the weekend coming up, Andy, we see a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs. We know what they did a couple of weeks ago, and now the 49ers, who somehow walked out of Lambeau with a victory against a division rival. And we always know how tough that division is in the NFC West, and you see a team for the third time, it's always difficult. But your initial impressions of what we're going to get in the conference championships this weekend?
Well, if I'm looking at it, I hope that we have an offensive shootout between the Bengals and the Chiefs. Like, just go sling it. I think we will. So I believe we're going to have another high-scoring 30-plus point each game. I'm looking at the over-under right now, guys, 54.5. I would take the over right now. I'm hoping, anyway, that we see, you know, 30-plus points, and it's just a lot of fun, a lot of back and forth, ton of touchdowns, and we are thoroughly entertained. The 49ers-Rams game, that's the one that, first of all, I wish that was the early game. I think Bengals-Chiefs, I think that's the main event. But for that one, it's interesting, because like you said, Logan, it's in division. So you have that knowledge, that familiarity with each other to put a wrinkle in it. The Rams, on paper, should destroy the 49ers. But you got Kyle Shanahan. That's your wild card. But Sean McVay's a pretty darn good head coach himself. So how did they work in the weird win record of Jimmy Garoppolo seeming, if you just look at the box score, never really or not often really doing that much. And you look at it, oh, interception. But it seems like he always makes the play when you need to. Then you mix in the run game. You do that. You have the 49ers defense healthy. How is that going to work? To me, I'm looking at it, and I believe it's going to be the Rams take it. But the 49ers strategy has to be keep this thing as low scoring as possible. And Matthew Stafford, we know, he didn't do it last week, but Matthew Stafford can turn the ball over, and he's done it not that long ago on a 3-4 week stretch in the regular season. So for the 49ers, the strategy's got to be, you know, can you some way somehow get up by 10 points and force the Rams to start going a little, start pushing a little more maybe than they want to. That's when the Matthew Stafford mistakes come. But if it's like back and forth or close, or the Rams get up by 10 early, I just don't think the 49ers have the firepower to come back.
You have more on that?
No, I was curious how you felt.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see the 49ers and Rams again because we had it so recent. And you mentioned the Chiefs and Bengals, which is also recently. Yep. And to your point, Andy, I mean, that game was a shootout. So I think we have got every opportunity to see another one here coming up on Sunday. And I think the other fun angle about the division rival, did you guys see the story out of Los Angeles today? It's since been removed after the backlash it faced, but fans interested in making the trip to SoFi from outside the LA area were restricted from buying tickets. They said no. You cannot buy tickets unless your credit card billing address is from LA or the surrounding counties.
Stop that.
Debo Samuel.
Why?
Because the Week 18 game, it was a lot of 49er fans, and the Rams were like, no,
Lightning,
this is our home game.
The Lightning did it a couple of years ago, Andy, too, in the playoffs, the Tampa Bay and the NHL.
Wow.
They said if you weren't in Florida, you can't buy playoff tickets.
Now, the good news
really?
Is, yeah. Now the good news is this has now been reversed, so the right decision has been made, but you can tell that's quite a rivalry, and the Rams are a little scared of the 49ers coming in. And I think the other thing that we could maybe end on in this discussion, Andy, is whether it's the Bengals and even the Chiefs. I mean, you look at the start of the season for the Chiefs, and everyone was asking what's wrong with Mahomes. Why isn't this team winning the games that are supposed to be winning? And then you look at the 49ers, what they started the year 3-5, and since then they've been red hot. So you talk about playing good football at the right time, and I think we can all have different opinions on momentum game to game, but both, you know, I guess three of these four teams, because the Bengals are kind of the same way. The Rams were one of the teams we had questions about because they hadn't been playing as good a football. In particular,
no.
The quarterback hadn't been playing good football. But lots to be said about playing good football leading into the playoffs, and a lot of these teams have carried that over.
Yeah, and that's why that game, that Rams 49ers game, is, I don't think it's going to be as just visually entertaining, but there are so many storylines with it, because you have both quarterbacks that obviously can go win you a game, but they can also turn the ball over. And you got two teams with good defenses. So how does that work? And then you work in the complement of running game where, you know, from the rushing standpoint, it was not really utilized that much outside of Cam Akers. And his average yards per carry was 2, which obviously isn't as dynamic or the sort of burst we saw a little bit in his return. So how does that get worked in? And where does the advantage fall when you bring in the gadget? You just have to call him a weapon in Debo Samuel, right? Like that guy is absolutely incredible from all aspects. You can line him up. You can sweep him. You can put him in the backfield. You can put him inside, outside, everywhere. And the guy just makes plays. So the quarterback play when it comes to the turnovers. And again, I'll go back to if one team can just get not even that big of a lead, like 2 scores, I think it's going to push and we're going to see some mistakes. So that'll be more of a chess match where Bengals Chiefs hopefully is just a, hey, you know what? Let's put the Madden mode on easy and light it up.
What's your weekend look like? And you know, what's when can people hear your danger zone picks? Take us through kind of the week for you here.
Well, guys, I got to say, too, the fantasy show is a top 5 finalist for
Aaron,
the Fantasy Sports Writers Association.
Aaron, give the man a round of applause, please.
Thank you.
Aaron?
Thank you. Our studio
Aaron,
audience.
Aaron?
There we go. The applause didn't come on for the studio audience. It's okay. But
COVID, yeah, right? Hey. COVID. We can't have studio audiences. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But finalists for the best fantasy sports radio show. Now, it didn't specify this, guys, but I'm assuming it means the world, worldwide. So I'm saying anything the sun touches, we are in that finalist. So I said on the show, I already have built-in excuses if we don't win. But if we do, oh, boy, we're going to be giving away piles of pizza. Piles, people. I wish the public could vote because I would buy your love, but it can't. It's within the voters' hands there. So, yeah, we got that. But, hey, we're going to be going through, of course, the games. We have our own DraftKings contest that we're doing, our listener league. We're popping that in. Fantasy football start, sits, look back. Start also looking ahead to some dynasty and keeper situations. And in upcoming weeks as well, the draft picks to keep an eye on for those rookie drafts and the upcoming NFL draft. So still a lot to go.
Great stuff, Andy. As always, love talking football with you. And I'm guessing we'll have a conversation or two before the Super Bowl. So stand by your phone, and we appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys. Talk to you soon.
You bet. There he is, Andy McNamara, our guest on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, which, by the way, offers great hockey and football game day specials. 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available. Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. We do got to hit a break and get the headlines, but Logan, before we get there, we mentioned it, 960-960. Your thoughts on Bills and Chiefs. Is there a game that's comparable to you for what we saw, and in particular that finish in the final 2 minutes plus? Someone texted in, says, Luke, by the way, texted in, says, 2014 women's gold medal game, one with the puck off the post in the empty net. Of course, and then Canada came back to win. That one certainly was absolutely thrilling, and I can see why you would draw that comparable. Saskatchewan 1989 Grey Cup win would be a close tie. Probably a Ryder fan, so you can understand why they would have that in there. 2010, U.S. and Canada with the golden goal was better for sure. Tough to say that game was the best with the lame ending in overtime. It's a crime to not let both quarterbacks touch the ball in overtime. For me, same thing. The best game I ever watched was the 2010 men's gold medal hockey game at the Olympics, Canada and the U.S. Of course, the U.S. tied that game in the dying moments of the third period before Crosby did score in overtime. This one says, the game was insane. I don't know if there's an electric as the last 3 minutes, but as a whole, Game 4 of the 2020 World Series is pretty crazy, especially with the Brett Phillips walk-off. And then even just looking at the box score, you can see the back-and-forth intensity. This one's fun because it kind of is a comparable when it's sport to sport. 2007 Logan Fiesta Bowl, Boise State and Oklahoma. 1:26 left, Oklahoma ties it. 1:02, pick six, take the lead. And 7 seconds left, Boise with the hook and lateral to tie. OT, Statue of Liberty to win, upset complete. I do remember the 2007 Fiesta Bowl. It was in Arizona, I believe. One of the craziest college games of all time.
That one's up there as far as like the finish goes and the intensity of it and just the time, like, because that was the thing that hit me the most was that 13 seconds left, right? Like that's no time whatsoever.
You wouldn't think so until you give them 25 yards off the ball and you kick it through the end zone. You should have squibbed it. If John Madden was alive, he'd be screaming squib kick. Last night's game was amazing, but they truly need to restructure OT, at least for the playoffs. Bills should have got a chance to match it. Left a really sour taste in my mouth, and I'm not even a Bills fan. Been watching the NFL since 1972, but I don't remember a game like this one. Mind-boggling. And then another thought on the overtime, wanting us to discuss it. I think we've talked about it, Logan. It is too bad, but the bottom line for me is you're not going to have an overtime format where everyone's happy. You're going to have somebody pissed off. You're going to have somebody upset with it, and it's the way it goes. It sucks that it went down to a coin toss. I saw an interesting point today, and I was going to bounce it off of you. They should start overtime in football where the fourth quarter left off. So, I mean, that one was tough because you ended it on a field goal.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like somebody had the ball on the 25-yard line or the 27-yard line and was just beginning their drive or was second and nine or whatever it was. But, you know, for example, say they did kick the ball off. There's 3 seconds left. The Chiefs had it, and then they kicked to the Bills. The Bills return it out to the 12-yard line. Maybe they start first and 10 from the 12. I can understand having it carry over, but in instances like last night where it ends on the final play of the game, it's hard to have that carry over because you are essentially restarting.
Yeah, that's one that I hadn't considered. I have to give it some more thought. Maybe we'll revisit it later in the week with some other suggestions for overtime things that we've seen. But yeah, look, is it anticlimactic to not let both sides have a touch on it when it's, you know, a one possession sort of rule? Yeah, absolutely. But Josh Allen said it yesterday and post game, and I thought it was a really mature comment. And he said, it is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and complain about the rule. If we had won and we'd gotten the ball to start, we wouldn't sit here and say, oh, the overtime rule needs to be different. We'd be celebrating just like they are. So it's unfortunate, but I think both sides understand. It's not like Josh Allen is sitting here or the Bills are sitting there screaming that, hey, we need to restart this game again and we need to change the rule. We need to go back to Kansas City and we need to finish this football game off properly. It's the shootout to end international hockey games. Right.
I showed you that graphic on Twitter. Someone was like, hey, if the overtime rules were different or whatever, or still sudden death, it would be like 142 to 135 yeah. after 19 overtimes. Yeah. Pretty crazy. And what a game it was. A handful more of text. 2002 Olympic gold medal game. That was good, but I don't think it was an instant classic. I mean, Canada won a first gold medal in 50 years. And so I think there's a lot of people in this country that love it. But in terms of instant classic, I think 5-2 game, I don't know if I'd have it up there with what we saw last night, but still a good one. Like for me, 2010 was more of an instant classic than 2002 was, as memorable as it was and as historic as it was.
Yeah, this sort of crossed that line of, not that that's not a memorable game, yeah, but it was like a back and forth, and, you know, this was as dramatic as it gets. It wasn't one team clearly being better. This was a shootout. This was, if you think you're going to ball, I'm going to reply, right? Like Mahomes, no water off his back. He just slides in there and was ready to finish it. And I think that's what makes this one special. And in some of those categories that people have been texting in is the level of competition between these two. Either one of them could have won it. And that's what you want to see, right? At the end of the day, you want both of these teams to sit there and make it as hard on the other team as possible. I think they did that. So, look, those ones are the ones that you remember, I think.
No doubt about it. Just a handful more. We can't read them all as we're out of time, but Kawhi Leonard, Raptors and Sixers. Yeah, I think that
one's a pretty good one.
Crazy, you know, the bouncing off the rim, and of course.
And that was good because it was a close game, that, right?
And it was insane, especially with the way that ball was bouncing off of the rim. And then back-to-back text, Bills Chiefs, instant classic, but killed my pro line. And I literally changed the channel at 13 seconds. I thought it was over.
Ooh.
Then I watched the score later on to confirm my winning ticket and then seen the score. First of all, don't turn the game off at 13 seconds.
No.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Did you not see what Cooper Kupp did
earlier
in the day?
What's wrong with you? Texas USC, Rose Bowl, I believe it was. Vince Young, Reggie Bush.
Yep.
It was also an instant classic. And then some more on the overtime. Yeah, not a very good overtime format to end a spectacular game. And yeah, I think that is the focus, which probably shouldn't be in a great game like that.
Got some massive news for headlines coming up next. Some breaking CFL news.
Really?
Yep.
Is that all you're going to give us?
That's all I'm going to get out of BC.
Wow!
Big news out of BC, boys!
We'll get to that in a second. Headlines, we kick off hour number three. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. We're live in the Iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Currently hiring electricians, instrumentation, and telecommunication technicians, and more. Apply at iconicec.ca/careers. Huge news out of BC and more. It's a Flames game day, and that's the focus next on Headlines. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.